Our text for this morning's sermon comes from Psalm 1. So you can please turn in your Bibles. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its seasons, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There ends the reading. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This morning's sermon is entitled, Two Roads from Which to Choose. And it's by the Reverend Peter Van Husteen of Wainui. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. About 250 years ago, the government of the United States of America wrote their Declaration of Independence. The main reason why they wrote this declaration was to announce and explain why the United States, or the 13 colonies, were separating from Great Britain. Well, do you know what the second sentence of this declaration says? It says that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Did you hear the last four words? The pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness is an unalienable human right. Wow. It sounds all good and democratic, and in a certain sense we can agree with that. But here comes the question. What exactly is happiness? Is it the so-called American dream? Is it like the slogan of one New Zealand bank which used to go, living the good life? Will we be happy only when we are rich and able to have what our heart desires? Will we be happy only when we own the company? Then no one will be able to tell us what to do. Is it so that if I cannot own a certain make and model of car, and if I cannot have that yearly summer holiday in the Bay of Islands, I cannot be or stay happy? Well, sadly, that's exactly how man, by his sinful nature, thinks. It's all about happiness on my terms, happiness for me and my kingdom. As Nietzsche defined it in his book, De Antichrist, or The Antichrist, or Anti-Christian is another way of translating it, power, happiness is the feeling that power is growing and resistance is being overcome. But who can honestly say that such an attitude is not to be found even among God's church-going people? Yes, although you and I are not total pagans, is it not true that we too, deep inside our hearts, think of happiness is the state I'm in when all my physical needs are met, and abundantly so, with the assurance that this happy situation will never change. Well, the message of our Bible text is totally different to this kind of happiness. You see, here is the main message of Psalm 1. Happy or blessed are those who delight in God's word. Our text gives us the following 3 points. 1, the road of true happiness. 2, the road of feigned happiness. And 3, their end stations. The road of true happiness, verses 1 to 3. These first 3 verses describe the man or the person who is blessed, who walks on the road of happiness. The Hebrew word for happiness can also be translated as most blessed or deeply happy because of a joy firmly founded in one's reverence for and submission to God. What does such a happy or blessed person do? How does he live? Well, to start with, verse 1 describes what the most blessed person does not do. He does not walk, let alone stand, let alone sit in the company of the ungodly. See the degrees by which this happy in God person disassociates himself from evil. Perhaps someone might say, but hang on. If we're not allowed to walk, stand, or sit with the ungodly, yes, even if we're not allowed to be in the company of unbelievers, then how will we ever reach out to them with the gospel? Yes, how will we then ever win the unrighteous over for Christ? Are we to be like those holier-than-thou Pharisees of Jesus' day? Or are we to go live behind the high walls of monasteries? Did not our Lord Jesus himself walk, stand, sit, even eat with sinners? My brother and sister, the message is not to avoid all contact with unbelievers, but rather that we do not choose their way of life. Look, is that not what verse 1 means when it says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel, i.e. the advice, of the wicked." Indeed, the believer, provided he is strong and mature in faith, can and must often prayerfully walk, stand, and sit with unbelievers. But not so that walking, standing, and sitting make him choose their way of life and follow their destruction-bound advice. Well, that's what the most blessed man does not do. But what does he do? Verse 2 tells us. Look, is that not what Psalm 1 is all about? Is this not the very reason for, foundation of, this man's deep happiness? Verse 2 says that this man's delight is in the Torah of God. What does Torah mean? Well, at the time when Psalm 1 was written, God's people understood Torah to mean the first 5 books of the Old Testament, covering the law of God. However, by the time of our Lord Jesus, the Jews often used the word Torah, or law, to refer to all of the Old Testament scripture, i.e. to all of God's word that they had available to them. But look now that Christ has fulfilled the Old Testament's scriptures, what does Torah mean for us Christians? My brother and sister, it means for us all of God's word. Yes, all of the Old Testament and all of the New Testament. And so, how does verse 2 translate into New Testament terms? Well, in this way. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the whole word of God. Question. does John 1 say about the Word of God? Well, in its most poignant or moving, gripping form, God's Word is Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, again, how does Psalm 1 verse 2 sound in New Testament terms? Well, in this way, the man or person who is deeply blessed is the one whose delight is in the whole Word of God as it comes together in all that Christ is and has taught. Delight. Delighting in God's Word. Delighting in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Word. Now the question, what does one do if you delight in something? Well, is it not so that if we delight in friends, we'll want to be with them? If we delight in a certain song, we will want to sing it. So, what if we delight in all of God's Word and in the Word? Well, verse 2 gives the answer. We will want to read and meditate on God's Word. Actually, the Hebrew word for meditate means to make soft, murmuring sounds. My Bible here's footnote defines it as ponders by talking to himself. To soliloquize, yes, to softly talk to yourself by repeating words, phrases, and sentences from the Bible, from Jesus. Perhaps you have done this in times of great joy in the Lord, or even in times of great suffering. In fact, one of the great tips for personal devotions is that when you read your Bible, too, with intervals, stop and pray along the words you've just read. This is taking God's Word to heart and making it your own. Well, verse 2 says that this deeply blessed man is doing it day and night. Of course, this does not mean that you and I must never sleep, but just that if we delight in God and His Word, we will continue to think of God triune and often repeat His Word to ourselves, Deuteronomy 6 style. And as our Lord Jesus once said, abide in His Word. John 8:31-32, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you abide in my word, my brother and sister, from verse 3, we learn that this most happy man was, at first, not doing so well. Yes, at first he was like a tree that grew in dry land. But then, by grace, the gardener did something beautiful. The tree was transplanted onto the banks of streams of water. Of course, this is a mere picture of a person who's by the grace of the heavenly gardener got plucked out of a sinful, fruitless life of feigned happiness, and then got transplanted into a life which drinks deeply and constantly from God's Word. Indeed, into a state of abiding in Christ's Word. Well, up until now we have seen, one, what the most happily, deeply blessed man does not do, and two, what he does do. But now, what is the result of this transplanted man's life? Well, thirdly, he bears fruit. Fruit that, so typical of fruit, blesses not himself, but the gardener and others. And just like that tree's leaves don't wither, so does the faith of this deeply blessed, most happy man never wane. Granted, during times of suffering, the Christian's fruit might not always be seen so clearly, just like the tree which is out of a fruit-bearing season. However, just as the leaves of the tree planted by streams of water, just as those leaves never wither, so does the faith of this most blessed man. The man planted in the streams of God's word does not wane. So, such a most happy man drinks from the water which Christ spoke about to the woman at the well. Yes, he drinks from the living water of the word, and so he will never get thirsty. Well, so far regarding the very long point one, which was about the first of the two roads, the road of true happiness. Here is the much shorter point two, the road of feigned happiness. My brother and sister, whereas the psalmist spent three verses packed with beautiful things on the deeply blessed man, the righteous man, he spends only two short verses describing the way of the ungodly. Yes, those who, all the time while they were on this earth, had a superficial view of what happiness is. A feigned happiness, one that caters only for physical needs. And the world is full of people who have the world's wealth, and yet they remain utterly unhappy. Well, just as the psalmist used an agricultural image to explain the life of the most happy man, so now, again, he gives an agricultural image of the ungodly, the wicked. Yet an image which is so different to the fruitful tree that symbolized the righteous believer. Here's the image. The wicked are like chaff, worthless. Picture this. At harvest time in ancient Israel, the farmer would bring in the sheaves of grain and lay them on the threshing floor. Then they would crush the grain with a threshing sledge. And then? Well, then they would take a winnowing fork and toss the grain in the air. Of course, grain is heavy, but the chaff is light. So the grain, it falls back on the threshing floor, but the chaff, well, the chaff gets blown away by the wind. See what contrast chaff is to fruit. As someone has said so well, chaff is without root below, without fruit above, devoid of all vigor and freshness of life, a prey of the slightest breeze, thus utterly worthless and unstable. Sadly, such is the unbeliever. He is not grounded in God's word, does not believe in nor love Christ. What a shock! The life of the wicked, even though that life might be filled with the happiness this world offers, is lived apart from God, is ultimately just as empty, just as meaningless and worthless as the chaff which gets rejected. Well, that was point two, the road of feigned happiness, a fruitlessness. Here is the last point, their end stations. Both roads will come to an end. What is that end? Well, verse 5 mentions it. Judgment. Ultimately, this refers to the final day of judgment. On that day, the wicked will not remain standing. Yes, the wicked, ungodly, unrepentant sinners will not be placed in the assembly of the righteousness. Of the righteous, sorry, who will be standing at Christ's right hand. And did not John the Baptist prophesy what Jesus would do? This is what John said. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor. He will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Dear Christian, will you and I envy the ungodly and their feigned happiness? For the American dream, for living the good life? No. For look how Psalm 73 answers. I was envious of the arrogant. I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Such are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches. But when I thought how to understand this It seemed to me a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived their end. Indeed, those who are far from you will perish. You put an end to those who are false to you. On judgment day, the wicked, even the happy wicked, will not stand. But why is it that the righteous will stand? Verse 6 gives the answer. Because the Lord, Jehovah, keeps on knowing and knowing intimately the way of the righteous. And so God cares for, he watches over, he preserves the way of the righteous. God protects their life so that they do not perish. We want to conclude. My brother and sister, have you noticed that there's something missing from this psalm? You see, it does show the two roads, the road of true happiness versus the road of feigned happiness. But look, nowhere in all of these verses does the psalm give a command to choose between the two. Why is that so? Well, is this not in sync with how God always works? You see, God never forces anyone to receive him against that person's will. He never carries anyone kicking and screaming against his or her will into heaven. Rather, God moves and draws, and strongly so, their hearts, so that by the time they receive Christ, they receive him because they want to. So here is my prayer. That this whole congregation, from the youngest to the oldest, will look at these two roads and will, by God's Spirit, be moved to choose correctly, either for the first time or again and again. Yes, to choose the road of true happiness, the road firmly founded on and anchored in the Torah, the living word most poignantly seen in Jesus Christ, whose supper we will enjoy next Sunday. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord God, for causing your light of your word to shine among us, to instruct us in the way of salvation, to shine in our hearts, and to let us know your will. We ask you by your Holy Spirit that we'll be filled with the knowledge of your will and energized with the hope of your promises, that our families may feed on your word, that you may cause our families to grow like the trees by the streams, and like the latest psalm, like olive shoots, may our children grow up among a table which opens and meditates upon your word both day and night. In Jesus' name we pray, for your glory. Amen.